Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today I have a special show because I will be starting off with an interview with a singer from Chicago who sang in a bunch of different vocal groups and who had a solo career. So we'll be talking to her about the music she made and her musical career and playing the excellent records that she released. So it should be an interesting interview, and I hope you keep tuned. So first of all, thanks so much for coming down to the studio, and could you introduce yourself?
Hi, Bob. Thank you so much for inviting me. My name is Betty C. currently. It's been spelled a lot of different ways over the years. But yeah, I am currently a jazz singer / R&B right now. But yeah, I've sung in a lot of different groups and originally from the West Side singing and... I happened to run across one of your interviews.
Okay.
And I called you.
Okay. Yeah, it's unusual because usually I'm the person getting in contact with the people that I interview, and you found me, so
yes.
I appreciate that. And one of the reasons I appreciate that is you sang in a group that put out a really excellent but very obscure record, a group called the Softeaks.
Yeah.
And it's a record that I don't even own the record because it's so rare, but it's both sides are excellent, which we'll talk about and play both sides of the record.
Okay, great.
So were you originally born in Chicago?
No, I was originally born in a little town called Indianola, Mississippi, and came here to Chicago with my family. I was probably about 5 years old.
Okay.
And been here ever since.
Did you move to the West Side?
Yeah, we lived on the West Side, and then in my, you know, adult years, I moved to the South Side.
So what streets on the West Side did you live by?
When I was a kid?
Yeah.
Originally, the first place I can remember is, it was a real big green building. We called it the Green Building on the corner of, Madison and Oakley, where now, it's a parking lot, and the Bethlehem Healing Temple was always there. But this building was there, and it had like a grocery store underneath, and it actually burned down, and one of my little childhood friends, actually perished in that fire, so... That was the...
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how did you first become involved with music, actually?
We had this aunt that lived on the South Side, and she was like the affluent one in the family and had, you know, they would have a new Cadillac every year and trade it in, and they had no children, and they played bridge and, you know, just had... She had furs, and they would go on trips, and so they were living really, really high, and I would always go over there on the weekends to visit, and that was my Aunt Demetris, and I would always sing with the television programs that would come on. Mainly would be like Patti Page and all of the pop singers. So I would sing harmony with them, and I would sing with commercials. I was just so engrossed in singing. And the first time I can remember singing was singing on the stage in grammar school on the South Side at the school called Dewey. It's on right off of 55th. I sang In Your Easter Bonnet.
Okay.
And that was my first really big taste of music, and I loved it. I've never been afraid to sing. I love singing. I love people.
Okay. Yeah. So first of all, you said one thing that influenced you a lot was not even R&B music, but just sort of commercial music and pop music that you heard
yes.
on television.
Yes.
And then a second thing you said that was interesting was that you enjoyed singing harmony, and you weren't even necessarily singing harmony to, like, pop harmony, but you were just singing harmony to things like the TV. You were making up
right,
harmony.
Right.
And then a third thing you said that was interesting was that you did. You said you went to grammar school on the South Side.
For about a year and a half, something like that. I lived with that aunt, with my aunt Demetrius. That was my mother's oldest sister, and I lived with her.
Okay.
And that's the first time I went to school was from her house, and I would pretend that I didn't know the way to school, and my grandmother, which lived around the corner, she would walk me to school and pick me up.
Okay.
Because I was just a little kid, and I didn't feel comfortable going back and forth by myself. But yeah, that was the first school I went to, was over there at Dewey School. It's still there too.
Okay, so mm-hmm. So you sang in that play. In what grade was that again?
I never went to kindergarten. I went to first grade.
Okay.
So it was first grade.
So you sang in your first grade play?
Yeah, it was first grade.
Did you have any experience singing also in church?
Oh, yes. I've always been singing in church. Currently, I belong to Pastor T.L. Barrett's church. I was 55th in Indiana.
Okay.
That's actually where the church is. And I sang there in the choir for, oh my God, umpteen years, and until I started really to, you know, travel and stuff. And I didn't want to be, you know, not showing up for rehearsals and all of that. But I still love singing in church. I sang in church about 3 weeks ago for my pastor's birthday. So
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did when you were growing up, though, were you singing in church also?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For my mom and different, when we were going to church, we would all sing. My sisters sing, too, and I used to try to make them be something like the King family, and they wouldn't have it, though. But, yeah, all of us mostly can sing.
So you tried to make your family into, like, a gospel group, kind of?
Well, not necessarily gospel. I just wanted them to sing, you know. Yeah, so I would try to, you know, we would do harmony and we would do songs, you know. But, yeah, we would sing gospel for my mom, though, for different programs. But I just wanted them to sing and us to just be a group, you know, a group of people that made music.
Did you have a lot of sisters?
Yes, 7 sisters and 2 brothers.
Okay, and were any of them into music?
Yeah, my sister Mary Ann, she actually did a lot of shows with me. She's deceased now. She just died this year. Well, last year.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And then my sister Brenda also, she sang with me. So the 3 of us, we did like a group, you know. We did like some jazz things, several, well, it was in the 80s or something like that.
Okay, yeah. So mm-hmm. much later you sang together.
Yes.
But when you were a kid, were you ever influenced at all? You talked about all these pop influences, and then you talked about singing gospel. Were you ever influenced by R&B music?
Oh, yes, of course.
What R&B music influenced you?
I used to love Aretha Franklin. Oh, my gosh. I love Aretha Franklin. And then later on, Natalie Cole, of course, Gladys Knight and the Pips, you know, all the R&B groups, you know, we just grew up with them and just always sang their songs. Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions, the harmonies was just, I was always fascinated with harmony.
Okay.
Yeah. I did teach some people how to talk in harmony also. You know, you can talk in harmony.
So how did you teach people to talk in harmony?
Because, just say for instance, if you're talking in your voice and you're saying like, hello, how are you? Say that. Hello.
Hello.
Say it again.
Hello.
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 See, that's harmony. I mean, it's another key.
I guess that never caught on.
Right. Right. I guess it didn't.
So when did you actually form your first? So when you went to high school, did you go to Marshall High School?
Yes.
So you had moved back. Back from the South Side, were you living with your mom again at that time?
Oh, yeah. I only stayed on the South Side with my aunt like a year and a half to live with her. But I would go, you know, every weekend I would go over to visit. But I actually lived on the West Side.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then, at that point, were you still singing like all the time, pretty much?
Pretty much, yeah.
And I know Marshall High School was famous for having a talent show.
Yeah.
Do you remember that talent show?
Oh, yeah, Jamboree.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first time I sang in high school. I was always very shy. And a lot of people knew me from that, but, you know, they knew me, but I really, you know, I was just really very shy in school. And people would cut class to, you know, to hang out, you know, if I was on my lunch and all that. And it was pretty good.
So you participated in the talent show?
Oh, yeah.
Did you participate with a group or as a solo singer?
As a solo singer.
Okay, just billed under your name at that time?
Yeah.
And what was your name at that time?
It was Betty Berry.
Okay, and did you eventually form a group?
Eventually, I started singing with these guys. They went to Marshall also. I've forgotten now what we called ourselves, but they, as I thought about it, they sang in the Jamboree also. It was two brothers, and then it was this other guy, and then I sang with them.
Okay.
So, but then after that, after I stopped singing with them, then the next group I sang with was an ex-husband.
Okay.
It was just the three of us, myself, he, and this other guy named Tony.
Okay.
And so we sang. It was a trio, and we did jazz and pop tunes, you know, because around that time it was like the Fifth Dimension type of era going on, you know.
In the Jamboree also?
No, this was later. Oh, yeah, he went to Marshall also. So everybody that I sang with, everybody had gone to Marshall anyway.
But in high school you also sang with the Softeaks, right?
Yeah, but not necessarily in school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did the Softeaks happen?
Okay, I was afraid you were going to ask me this. I know that somebody must have, this has been a very long time ago, Bob. So, but I as I recall, someone introduced me to them, and I got in the group, and I was one of the lead singers of the Softeaks.
So the group already existed?
Yes.
And for some reason they needed another singer, and you were introduced to them?
Yes, yes.
And someone who was involved with the group gave me a lineup that was the other members that weren't you, and the lineup they gave me was Gloria Lewis, Gloria Carver, and Valencia Gray. So do you remember any of those three people?
I can remember Gloria Lewis.
Okay.
And I'm not too sure if I think I can remember Gloria Carver too, because I actually spoke with her on the phone, and she was saying how she didn't really get a chance to actually sing in the group because her mom wouldn't let her, you know, wouldn't sign the papers or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so the group, you don't even know how long they were together before you joined?
No, I don't.
But how old was everyone in the group when you joined? Like, were you still all in high school, right?
Yeah, must have been about 15 or something like that. Yeah.
So you were all pretty young when
Yes.
And so you joined the group, and did they have a manager already?
Yes, his name was General Johnson. They called him, well, his name was I think, yeah, his real name was General Johnson. They called him Gene Johnson, and he lived right next door to Herb Kent, the cool jet.
Okay.
And we would sometimes go over there, too. So
how long were you, so you started to practice with the group?
Yes, yes.
And the group ended up actually cutting a record.
Yes, we did.
How long were you with the group before they cut a record?
I really don't know, to be honest with you. It might have been some months or something, or maybe not that long.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the record that the group cut, it was a pretty excellent record. One side was called Bashful, I'm That Kind of Girl, and the other side was called Two Kinds of Boys.
Yes.
And you actually sing lead on one of the sides, is that right?
Yes.
Which side do you sing lead on?
On Bashful.
Okay, well, let's play that side. I actually want to play both sides because both sides are great.
Okay.
But I want to play the Bashful side, and then we could talk some more.
Okay, Bob.
So this is the Softeaks from the west side of Chicago with Bashful, I'm That Kind of Girl. Okay, you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. That was just the Softeaks, and that track was called Bashful, I'm That Kind of Girl. Singing lead on that track was just Betty, who at the time, what was your last name at that time?
Betty Berry.
Okay, at the time she was known as Betty Berry. That was a group out of Marshall High School on the west side of Chicago. And so the track, it really didn't get even pressed very much, like it was a test pressing.
Right.
So do you remember the circumstances of the recording, like where it was recorded?
Yeah, we actually recorded in a studio in Winnetka, Illinois. And that was an experience in itself.
So why did you drive all the way out to Winnetka, do you remember?
I really don't know. I think that was just where he had a contact, and, we were kids, so we didn't know.
Like where your manager had a contact?
Yes, the manager.
And one thing that's, the record, like, he probably must have pressed it as a demo with the intent of it being picked up by a larger label or something like
probably.
That. Probably. Because it even says, like, not for sale, and it looks like a test pressing on the record, so it wasn't probably not many copies were pressed.
That's right.
So you don't know if it ever actually got played on the radio or anything?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But you know what? I was talking with my brother, because, he still remembers how the song goes, and He said that he heard it a couple of times on the radio. He did hear it, so
okay.
You know, his memory is a little better than mine.
that makes sense, especially with Herb Kent's connection to, like,
yeah.
If he lived next door to Herb Kent, he probably would have gotten a few spins.
Right.
And then another thing is the song was written by Curtis McCormick, who wrote a lot of material in Chicago, and I think he had something to do with the Kelmac record label, which was the label that put out the CODs. You don't remember anything about the songwriter, do you?
Not really, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So before we move on to the rest of your career, I really just want to play the other side of the record.
Sure.
On the other side of the record, you don't sing lead on this side of the record, but it's a great song too. And you were saying you think maybe Valencia Gray is the person that sings
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, I think that's who did the other side.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Softeaks. This is a great song too. This track is called Two Kinds of Boys. Okay, that was just the Softeaks with the other side of the record, an excellent track called Two Kinds of Boys. And as we were discussing, that record didn't really get much play or distribution because it wasn't even really pressed, only probably not that a few test presses were made. So if you're just tuning in, I have member of the Softeaks, Betty, who sings on that record. So did you help actually with the harmony of the group on that record?
Yes, I did. We overdubbed. It was just three of us, so in order to get that harmony, I did sing in the background.
Okay, so mm-hmm. but the studio you recorded at actually had the ability to do overdubbing actually and bounce tracks and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So so you actually sing not just like even on Bashful you sang not just lead but you sang lead and some backup.
Right.
Okay, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So after the Softeaks weren't together too long after you joined, right?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. The girl that did the lead on the other side became pregnant.
Okay.
And so that ended the group.
Okay.
Right.
So I usually don't explicitly ask about that, the group ended, and then you said you had joined some other group right after that. You said you were in another group with some members from Marshall.
Yes. Yes.
Do you remember the name of that group?
No. No, I don't.
Okay. Did that group continue after high school? Or was that just in high school also?
No. Well, yeah, that was kind of just in high school because on the way home from school we'd sing and, you know, go on the Vidocq to hear the harmony and, you know, just sing like that. But I don't think I ever really did any shows with those guys either. I was the only female and, you know, guys in the group.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then you continued to be involved with music after you graduated from high school, right?
Oh, yes.
And you graduated sometime like late 60s, around that time?
Right.
And I know that you joined the group Coffee probably sometime around 74 or something like that.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So what were you doing in between the time you graduated from high school to the time you joined Coffee? Were you in some other groups that were performing in Chicago?
I actually was in a group with the ex-husband.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the three of us. And by that time, I had three children also.
What was the name of the group, of that group, do you remember?
Destiny.
Destiny?
Mm-hmm.
Did Destiny perform in clubs in Chicago?
Yes, we were performed in a lot of clubs. But we didn't really record anything. We didn't really record anything.
And Destiny was the group that you said had like a fifth dimension type of sound.
Right, right. We had like it was really pretty harmony, but it was, you know, geared toward the fifth dimension and pop tunes and, you know, jazz. That was really where I really got my first taste of doing jazz, was with that group.
And what types of clubs did you perform at?
Clubs on the south side and on the north side. We had a manager that booked us in little clubs. I mean, it wasn't like we were making a lot of money, but, you know, we were singing.
Okay. And the Northside clubs you did, were they like what types of audiences did you perform for?
Mixed.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and then how long was Destiny together for?
I don't know, we probably sung together maybe about 3 years or so.
And did you have your own band also?
Yes, we had a band that played, I wouldn't call them our own band, you know, but I guess you could, yeah, because they always played for us, yeah. But I said that to say because it would be sometimes different people in there, you know, that freelance and whatever, you know. It wasn't like it was always the same people, but...
But you didn't have to rely on someone's house band, like you were a self-contained unit that could go from club to club?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so was Destiny together pretty much until you joined Coffee?
Yes. Yes, I would say, yeah.
And what's the story? How did you end up joining Coffee? Or how did Coffee form, even?
As I recall, Miss Moore kind of got us together.
So you're talking about Ruth Moore?
Yes, Ruth
Moore. Who's the legendary West Side Chicago manager.
Oh, yes. I mean, she taught us how to walk, talk, you know, do interviews and just be a lady all the way around. Not to smoke or chew gum while you're talking to somebody, and, you know, just all kind of things. And she was a great lady. She really was. Everybody loved Moore.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you know her originally?
Yeah, that again. I think I came over there. Someone brought me over there. I can't remember, Bob, to be honest with you, how that started.
But I'm sure just being on the West Side around all those groups, you probably had to have come in contact with her somehow.
Yes. Yes.
So, do you remember how Coffee formed? Like, whose idea was it to form Coffee, or was she forming the group herself, or what was happening?
I know Elaine and I, we thought of the name itself, Coffee, but just so far as us getting together as a group, I think we were kind of pieced together, you know, as a group. And Gwen was, she was the youngest member of the group. And, but fantastic voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was Ruth Moore kind of putting it all together.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And I think the group from the other interview said that they formed around 74. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And but the record didn't come out until around 76, Your Lovin' Ain't As Good As Mine.
Yeah.
So were you, like, practicing with the group for about a couple of years and sort of doing shows?
Oh, yeah, we did shows everywhere. We did shows at the Great Lakes Naval Base. We were like a regular there. I still have, like, the little plugger that had the performances that we were scheduled to do out there. And that was an experience, doing the shows for the servicemen.
Okay.
It really was.
They must have been excited to see such a beautiful
yeah.
group. So you sing on only one Coffee record, is that correct?
Yes.
So you sing on the record Your Lovin' Ain't As Good As Mine with the flip Just Because.
Right.
And you actually sing lead on the record, is that right?
That is correct.
So let me play the record and we could talk some
okay,
more.
Okay, sure.
So this is Coffee with Your Lovin' Ain't As Good As Mine. Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. If you're just tuning in, I have, that was just Coffee with Your Lovin' Ain't As Good As Mine. And if you're just tuning in, I have lead singer on that track, who I think at the time your name was Betty Caldwell. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. I'm glad I remembered all the changes.
Yeah, I sure do.
Okay. So that record came out around 1976, I think, in Chicago, and that got a lot of play in Chicago, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
So, and you did a lot of shows based on that record.
Yes, we performed a lot.
And were you managed by Ruth Moore?
No, we had a manager, Frank Timms.
Okay.
Yes. For this project, and he was a very good manager.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you traveled with the group, and you were only with the group for a few years. Is that right?
That is correct.
Was it your decision to leave the group?
Well, no, it wasn't my decision
okay.
to leave the group, to
okay,
put
well,
it mildly.
We'll just skip over that part then.
Okay.
But basically, you left the group.
Yeah.
And then you focused on solo projects after
yes.
that.
Yes, I did.
So then you left the group around what year?
I say maybe about 78, something like that, or 70... 78, 79, something like that.
Okay. So I know that I have the next record you actually released, which I have here, which we're going to play, was released in 85, and it's a track called Lovesick. But could you talk about what you did between 1978 and 1985?
I, again, was still singing, and singing in church, and also singing with background, you know, I'd hire background. If I wanted some background, I would hire background vocals for shows. But I did some blues things with some great people. I wrote songs. Oh, I wrote this fantastic song with them. I don't know if have you interviewed Nick Colleone before?
No.
Yeah, he's a Chicago artist, fantastic guitar player, writer. He co-wrote one of the songs that you're going to play a little later with
okay.
me. But did shows with the music that, and then I think one night we wrote about, I don't know, must have been about 10 or 12 songs. We just kept writing. It was a wonderful night. Al was there also. It was fantastic. But I found out I really liked to write. And but this guy that you're going to play on the other 45 that you have here, we did a lot of blues things. It was a blues band, and we just performed everywhere in blues clubs. And that so we did that for several years, too.
So you're saying you formed your own bands where you were the lead singer of the bands. Is that about right?
Well, sometimes they would already be formed. Like, Ike already had his band.
So this is Isaac York person?
Yes, he and his brother and his friend. It was about four, I think it was four pieces. They already had the band formed. And so I was the lead singer.
So you started gigging with people's bands, singing lead with them?
Mostly, yeah.
And around that time, did you adopt the stage name Betty C.?
Yeah, it was spelled differently.
Okay.
Because the last name was Caldwell, so I just kept the C part. And it was C-E-E.
Okay.
And one while I even had just one initial C. But I didn't record anything like that with the one initial. But when I did a recording, it was the C-E-E. And then later on, it became Betty C-S-E-A, like the water. Because one of our real good friends, we did the show with Bobby Bland, and our real good friend, he's deceased now, but he's the one that thought of, why don't you just change it from that C-E-E to S-E-A? I think that's more catchy, and so it just stuck, and
okay.
that's what I am now, Betty C.
Okay, so it kind of evolved over time.
Right,
evolution.
Right.
So, So between 1978 and 1985, you were gigging, playing in like local clubs with bands. And what type of music were you? Were you singing jazz and blues mainly? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And is that the type of music that you really enjoy singing?
I like jazz, and I really like pop tunes.
Okay.
I used to see myself doing, you know, just being on these shows with the big band, and I did meet a big band later on too, with one of the CDs that I did. But that was my ultimate thing. I love that big band sound in the back, you know, all those horns, and I mean, that's fantastic to me. I mean, to hear all that music surrounding you, and eventually, I did do that.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did a lot of stuff in between. I gave you my bio, did the White House. I've done a lot of things, done a couple of...
Let's play Lovesick and we can talk about the rest of the stuff you've done.
Okay, all right, Bob. I don't want to get ahead.
So this is Betty C-E-E.
Right.
And this was recorded in 1985. And this track is called Lovesick.
Baby, I'm lost.
Okay, that was just Betty C. with Lovesick. And if you're just tuning in, I have Betty C. in the studio talking about her musical career. That record came out in 1985. And did that record get any play in Chicago?
Yeah, it did get some play.
Like on what stations played it? Like,
it was GCI.
It was GCI at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did it get some like club play too, cuz it's more of like a dance type record?
Right, yeah. It did.
Okay.
Mhm.
And on that record you were saying it was written by a guy named Isaac York?
Yes.
Is it his band actually playing all the instruments on the record?
Yes.
Okay.
Mhm.
Do you remember where it was recorded?
On Remington Road in Prospect Heights. That's my manager and producer talking in the background. It's Al Turner.
Okay. And he actually released it on his own label, right?
Yes.
So that ended up being like your first kind of independent production that you all did yourself, pretty much.
Yes, it was.
So you actually had control over...
That
your,
is correct.
Your own destiny.
Right. Right. Total.
And then you released it not just on a 45, but on a 12-inch also.
Actually, the 12-inch was
a different
Dr. Feelgood. That's a different...
Oh, okay.
That's a different song.
So we actually don't have that here to play.
No.
Which one came out first?
The Lovesick. Yeah, Lovesick came out first because Dr. Feelgood was like 88.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that came out 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Does that one have a similar sound, or is that later sounding?
It was my own style of Dr. Feelgood. You know, I told you Aretha Franklin, but I always
loved Aretha Franklin.
That song,
okay.
Dr. Feelgood.
Mm-hmm. Did that get any play, the Dr. Feelgood cover?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And your radio station played it also.
Oh, okay.
Arkansas Red, he burned the air. And Richard Pegee, God rest his soul.
Okay,
yeah.
they both played your version of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you released those two records under the name Betty C.
Yes.
And you continued your career. What are some of the things that you've done since?
I have sung for the Chicago Cubs. I did the Star Spangled Banner. That was the most frightening thing in the world to do.
when did you do that?
That was in the 70s. I did that.
Okay.
Yeah, in the late 70s, I did that.
Okay.
That was an experience, to say the least. But I did that, and I performed in Vegas. I've performed at the White House when Bill Clinton was in. I got a plaque for performing.
How did you get invited to perform at the White House?
Well, this band that I was doing shows with, Ray Sisco was the one that was instrumental for that, and we actually performed like a week after Aretha Franklin had left the White House. It's an area, it's not inside of the White House, it's called President's Park.
Okay.
And what it is, it's the area where people come while they're waiting to go to tour the White House, so they have people that entertain the guests, you know, as they're preparing. And so that's what we did. I was the singer for the band, the lead singer. So now that was an experience also.
Okay.
But that was before all the security and everything that they have now surrounding the White House.
You have actually have from 98 you have a record that you did in Germany. What's the story with that?
The story with that is Annette Perkruel invited me, well, hired me to come over to do a show over there of some open air concerts, and also I did a show involving abused children, and that was the first thing that I did over there in Europe, and then I came back and recorded music that you have there now. But and the girls that actually did the background vocals, they didn't speak a word of English, but they could sing in English. So that was something.
Okay, so I'll play a track from this German. It looks like it's a single release with a bunch of remixes.
Yes, yes.
So, but this was released in...
Actually, there's three songs on there.
Okay.
Yeah, the other two are like ballads. But yeah, it's three songs on there. And the first one is it's like radio version and all that, but it's actually three songs on there. Morning Light and...
Just Keep on Trying, right, and Morning Light and Holding On.
That is correct.
Should I play... And there's a bunch of remixes of Keep on Trying.
Right.
Should I play Keep on Trying?
Yeah, you can play Keep on Trying. That's the first cut on there.
Okay, so this is a record that you actually recorded in Germany.
In Germany, in a little small town called Karlsruhe. And we rehearsed in this town called Baden-Baden. That's in Germany also. And we rehearsed in the Keller, as they call it, which is the cellar of a university there, where a lot of very affluent people come to that town, and they would take baths in the bathhouses there. I mean, just and they have this water that has medicinal purposes, and it's warm water like our Hot Springs, Arkansas, here in Chicago. Well, Baden-Baden is their Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Okay. Okay, so this is Betty C, and this time it's spelled S-E-A, is that right?
Right, like the water.
And this is recorded in Germany. This is called Keep on Trying.
Hey baby, there's nothing I won't do for you. You mean that much to me, but you belong to someone else, and she won't set you free. Yeah.
Okay, you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. That was just Betty C. with a more recent project of hers called Keep On Trying, and that was actually recorded in Germany. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So, what have you been doing, and that was released in 98. So what have you been doing musically since then?
I've been performing, doing private parties and affairs, and also performing in clubs. And the last big thing that I was kind of doing, well, I did some things on the East Coast, too. I performed at this race park, you know, where the NASCAR races in Dover, Delaware, as a matter of fact. That's where it is. But I did some things there. And before Hurricane Katrina hit, we were doing this. We had this big show plan down in, it's right near Macomb, Mississippi. It's in a little town called Magnolia, Mississippi. And we were on our way down there. It's a show with Clarence Carter was in it performing, Bobby Rush, Tito Jackson was supposed to come down for the show. And the hurricane came through, and we had to redo it. I think we redid it, about a couple of weeks? The next year, we had the show. We planned, we went on down there and did it again, but that was pretty bad. And so we got with a lot of people and was sending water and just like everybody else trying to help, you know, the situation. And also, I've been singing with a 17-piece band.
Okay.
Called the Generations Big Band. And you're going to play one of the songs from the big band. And that was an experience. I've done singing at the riverboats and stuff, too, you know, doing those shows. But this last, were we going to get into that? The last thing that we're doing, or you want to play the other song, or it's up to you?
No, keep going.
Oh, okay, keep going. Okay. And currently, some things that I'm going to be doing, and you so graciously let me get this out there. This is says Jazz and You presents Miss Betty C. It's going to be February the 18th, and I want everybody to come out. It's going to be great food. It's at a restaurant called A Fusion Restaurant. It's at 4601 Lincoln Highway in Matteson. It's doesn't cost anything to get in, and we're going to have a real good time. It's great. The restaurant has excellent food. It's Japanese. It's three different types of Asian food that they serve. But it's going to be 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at A Fusion Restaurant. And I look forward to seeing everybody come out. And also,
what was the date of it again? It was February.
It's going to be February the 18th.
Okay.
And also, I want to mention that any of my songs besides the ones that are on 45 can be gotten from cdbaby.com/Betty C. And Betty C is spelled like the water, S is in Sam, E A. So that's cdbaby.com/Betty C. And
okay, well, thanks so much for coming down and telling your story. I really appreciate it.
Bob, I appreciate you. I really do.
I mean, you were involved with so much, so much music throughout your career, and
yes.
you put out so many excellent records in
Thank
all
you.
Kinds of different styles.
Thank you.
Like your career reflects almost like the changing of music over time. Mm. in Chicago, so I appreciate you coming and telling your story about all these different kinds of music that you put out.
Thank you. I just want to say that I think that you are doing a fantastic job. When I first heard you and heard your interviews that you did, you're great. You really are. You sound good on the radio, and you very nice personality, and it was a pleasure meeting you, and I'll come here anytime. And my listening audience, I want to say hi also to Life Center Church of God in Christ. That's my church. Pastor T.O. Barrett is the pastor, and I love you guys and my family, my Chicago family, as well as anyone else that's listening, because I love people. I'm a people person. And if you have heard this radio show and you see me anywhere performing, come up and let me know that you heard me on Bob Abrahamson's Abrahamian's show, Sitting in the Park. This is a great show, Bob.
Okay, well, thanks so much. I really appreciate the compliment.
Thank you.
So this last track that we're going to play, you actually put it out on two different CDs. Is that correct?
Yes.
It's called Lately.
Yes.
And it's available on, this is your most recent CD, is that right?
Right, yeah.
So it's available on your most recent CD called Jazz and You. And this is a track that you wrote, is that right?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. So this last track we're going to play is called Lately.
Oh, Bob, before we also sign off, I'd like to have a special thanks to Al Turner, my manager and producer that always supported me throughout the years. And thanks a lot, Al.
Okay, thanks again. And thanks again for coming down. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Bob.
Okay, so this last track we're going to play is called Lately.